Well, good afternoon, everyone, and it's been a while since I last had the pleasure of talking to you. I hope you all enjoyed the bank holiday weekend and our national day, whatever you did and wherever you spent it. It was an unusual Timwell day, to say the least. At the height of the pandemic, the event was scaled right back and the usual programme of events was cancelled. By the time we got to July, the ban on gatherings had been lifted and social distancing was no longer needed. But by then, the Timwell Day had been reduced to the formal ceremony only, another new first for the island. There was no grandstand, no fairs, stalls or sideshows, no marching bands, displays, entertainment or live music, but people still came out to watch. It is heartening to know that the essence of our ancient ceremony, an outdoor gathering of Parliament to proclaim our new laws in public, still has meaning in people's lives. It was good to come together on a uniquely Manx occasion and express pride in our nation and its institutions. I have seen photos of how people celebrated Timwell Day at home, here and abroad, and I look forward to seeing all the traditions returning next year. Now for today's update on the numbers, I will hand over to the Health and Social Care Minister, David Ashford. David.
Thank you, Chief Minister. The total number of tests undertaken now stands at 6,963. The total results returned is 6,937, meaning we are awaiting 26 results. There have been no new cases identified, leaving our total case count at 336. Thank you, Chief Minister.
Thank you very much, David. That's excellent news. Now, over the last few weeks, I promised you that the Council of Ministers would regularly review our policy on the gradual opening of the island's borders. Today, we once again looked at this, and the Council of Ministers this morning discussed whether it was time to move to the next stage, that's level 4. As I've outlined in previous briefings, this is the next stage in our stepped approach towards full reopening of borders. After careful consideration, we decided unanimously that we are now ready to make this significant step. I am pleased to confirm that from Monday, the 20th of July, Isle of Man residents will be free to travel to the United Kingdom and beyond and return. Until now, travellers have had to show that their journey off Ireland is essential, that there was a genuine, compassionate reason to go. That requirement will be lifted from the 20th of July. I should emphasise that today's changes apply to Isle of Man residents only. Borders are still closed to non-residents unless they have been granted an exemption. We have thought long and hard about moving to level 4. We have listened carefully. We knew that we could not keep border restrictions in place indefinitely. Our decision today is a cautious one, based on an assessment of the risks involved and the evolving picture in the United Kingdom and beyond. We carefully considered the impact of our people who are separated from loved ones. Our borders framework set out the indicators which allow for gradual relaxation of the closed borders policy. According to the United Kingdom's Office of National Statistics, a well-respected agency independent of the UK government, the COVID infection rate in England currently stands at approximately one person in every 3,900 people. We judge that this is an acceptable level for us to move to level 4. We are at our 50th day without any case, and in many respects, island life has returned to normal. Allowing our citizens to travel off island to see family, for business purposes, to go on holiday, shopping, or simply for a change of scene, is the right thing to do. There is no compelling reason not to. Waiting yet longer, as some would have us, just to be on the safe side, becomes increasingly hard to justify when infection rates are amongst our nearest neighbours are falling. But we will still need to maintain some important restrictions for a while. The traveller must on return quarantine at home for 14 days. This is an essential condition of travel, no ifs or buts. We will be taking this extremely seriously and will have measures in place to ensure that this is respected. Our newly formed Borders team is preparing for this stage and they will play a crucial role. Staff will meet and greet returning travellers who will have to wear a mask to ensure each individual understands what is required of them. The traveller will receive a self-isolation order which will make it clear that self-isolation is a legal agreement. The order is a legal document which will state that failure to comply could result in criminal prosecution, punishable with a fine or even imprisonment. In this context, it is only the traveller who must go into self-isolation. There is no need for the rest of the household to do so, unless the returning traveller develops symptoms, when a test will be carried out and different rules apply. Now, I know that for some, this move to level 4 will be a great relief. For others, it may cause concern, and I understand that. I've always been clear and honest with you. As with all the decisions we have taken, there is an element of risk in taking this step. We have enjoyed a prolonged period without any positive cases of COVID-19. Clearly, when more people move between the island and other countries, the risk of the new cases of the virus increases. We can't pretend otherwise. What is important is how we meet that challenge. Self-isolation will remain our most important weapon against this spread. This, combined with our rapid testing and tracing, are our defences against a new outbreak. And of course, a continued effort by the community to maintain high standards of hygiene at home and at work. You may ask how will self-isolation be policed? We trust people to do the right thing, and the overwhelming majority will. But as we take this next step, that will not be enough. People who wish to travel will have to tell us about their travel plans and where they will be isolating on return. We will be putting in place measures that include regular checks on returning travellers to see that they are complying with isolation requirements, both by phone and in person. The details will follow in the coming week, but I want to use today's announcement to make it crystal clear that we expect people to play their part in keeping our island safe. The message is simple. If you want to travel to and from the island, stick to the rules. And if people stick to the rules, we can keep our island safe. We have to enforce these rules firmly. The cost to our island of a second wave of COVID-19 would be substantial, so we will take all steps to prevent it happening. Today's UK news is dominated by the latest package of support measures announced by the Chancellor, Rishi Sunak. His summer economic update will see billions more injected into their economy to nurse it back to health. These figures are staggering. The additional £30 billion announced yesterday brings the total spend on measures to mitigate the crisis to almost £190 billion. That is equivalent to 9.4% of the UK's GDP, far more than last year's entire UK budget for health and social care. Clearly, there's no comparison with our situation, numbers-wise, but it is worth reflecting on the challenge the UK is facing to rebuild its economy as we take measures to restore our own. In big-term pictures, the economic health of the UK has always had an impact on the Manx economy. The buoyancy of our various sectors, from precision engineering to tourism, is influenced to an extent by the highs and lows of our nearest neighbour's economy. Changes to VAT arrangements are an example of how UK decisions directly impact us here on the island. So the move to cut VAT from 20% to 5% on most activities in the tourism and hospitality sectors in the UK will be mirrored here. The reduced rate will apply from the 15th of July 2020, that is the middle of next week, until the 12th of January 2021. The aim is to give businesses in those sectors a boost and, importantly, to support jobs. If the benefit is passed on to consumers, it will provide encouragement for the public to visit restaurants, cafes and pubs, helping those which have been closed for several months to survive and hopefully grow. Now, the Isle of Man already applies a 5% VAT rate to hotel accommodation, and this rate will be extended for the period of admission fees for events and attractions. More information and details about the measures will be published in the next few days. In the meantime, this is an opportunity to encourage everyone to support local, to spend in our shops, pubs and restaurants, and help support businesses, employers and workers, to save jobs and keep us on a firm footing. The latest measures announced by the Chancellor are only one step on a long journey. Mr. Sunak was keen to say that the job has only just begun, despite the huge amounts of public money committed already. Later this month, the Treasury Minister will unveil our summer budget update. This will provide an assessment of public finances and our own economic plan to recover from the pandemic. The Purple Book, as it's known, will indicate how we intend to support jobs and enterprise, safeguard livelihoods and young people's futures, and create the right environment for a vibrant, confident and prosperous society to thrive. One which can generate the revenues needed to fund public services, including, of course, our precious health and social care service. Now, I'm not going to steal the Treasury Minister's thunder, but it's safe to say that we will acknowledge the cost to the public purse of dealing with the coronavirus pandemic, and that thanks to our prudent approach and the support of the whole community, there are signs that the economy is starting to move more quickly than anticipated. And now for questions to our media. And first up today is Alex Wotton from Manx Radio. Good afternoon, Alex. Fast am I.
Good afternoon. Firstly, just to go back to the borders and moving to stage four, what has happened to trigger that move to stage four on the framework? And at which point would you look then to move to stage three?
Well, there's a number of assessments, obviously our capacity at the hospital. But I think if you look at the stages, which we have published online, you'll see that we've said that an infection rate of one person in 2,000 was an area where we felt we could start to look at moving to level four. And this week they have moved, as I said just earlier, they've moved to one in 3,900 people. So their infection rate is coming down, and therefore we feel that is a safe way of moving to stage four. But as I say, our key defence in allowing our people to go off island and come back is the fact that they will have to quarantine for 14 days.
And is there a number that it would have to hit then for stage three?
Yes, it goes up, and that's on the four. I think it's one in 5,000. It carries along, showing you all the figures. But obviously, it's not just the figures. We have to look at our own capacity on the Isle of Man to make sure that everything is working well and that we feel confident that stage four has worked, that people have respected it. And if people respect this and we have no serious outbreaks, then we will be able to look at moving to stage three when the UK infection rate improves, as it is improving gradually and steadily.
Okay. My second question's on the reduction in VAT. Forgive me if you said this, there was a bit of a connection issue, so I'm sorry, but how much is the reduction on from 20 to 5% going to cost Treasury?
Well, I can't announce those figures at this moment in time. I know the Treasury Minister and his team are looking into this and will be announcing it in the near future. Obviously, we have a Timwell budget in July coming up in a couple of weeks' time, and he will be making statements on the package that the Isle of Man government will be taking forward to help. And I'm sure he will have more of an idea on those figures. it's for 6 months, it's not for a 12-month period, but there will be a substantial amount. But equally, if it helps our hospitality trade going forward and supports jobs, then that's money well spent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Alex, we now move on to Jess Ward from Isle of Man Newspapers. Good afternoon, Jess. Pastor Mai.
Good afternoon. Hi, Chief Minister. This is a question from a member of the public. They've written, what about UK residents who have been stuck in the Isle of Man throughout the pandemic? Will they be able to leave the UK and return to the Isle of Man?
Well, UK residents have never been stopped from leaving the island. Anyone can leave the Isle of Man. It's getting back. So if you're a UK resident who's on the Isle of Man coming back, no, this will not allow you to freely travel. It's only for Manx residents to leave. So UK residents can leave whenever they want. Of course, a UK resident could come back with the exemptions policy for compassionate grounds, or if they're a key worker. So that policy still stands. This is purely the move to stage four is purely for Manx residents to go off the island without having to be for compassionate grounds. They can go off for a number of reasons now, but they will have to quarantine when they come back to the Isle of Man, and they will have to fill out a form hopefully before they go, so that they will be given an exemption number when they come back. They will have to fill out a pre-health declaration, and when they're travelling either on the boat or plane, another form which puts down the address where they're going to stay at, so that when they go to our border control, our repatriation team, they'll be able to be checked to make sure that everything is in place.
Thank you. And my second question is, where do you stand on the possibilities of Isle of Man residents being able to travel further? Because I believe that UK has some opportunities to go on holiday abroad. Is this something that you would actively discourage?
Well, we're not going to put restrictions on people. If you're going to the UK, you're probably going to one of the more infected countries in Europe. And therefore, to say you can't go further afield would be unfair, and it would be hard to police. What we're saying is, I mean, me personally, I'm not going to be leaving the island to go on holiday to the UK or further afield. I may well, if I could get to Guernsey, I would probably go there, because they've got no cases and I don't have to follow the isolation, because we're not having a 14-day quarantine period. But personally, myself and my family, you know, I wouldn't be leaving the island because all my close family are on the Isle of Man. But equally, if you've got loved ones and you're maybe the only member on the Isle of Man, and you haven't seen your partner or your mum and dad for a while, then that's a decision for you to take. We are giving you that freedom to make the decision yourself. Personally, I would discourage people from going on holiday, but that's the choice that people can now make. But you will have to quarantine for the 14 days. That is the key thing. So if you're going on a 14-day holiday, you will then have to quarantine for a further 14 days when you get back, and you would have to take that into consideration, Jess.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Jess. We now move on to Rob Pritchard from 3FM. Rob.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. My first question is for the Health and Social Care Minister, please. With regards to, you've mentioned there that those who do head to the UK or beyond must give details of their travel plans. Could you sum up for us some of the key details people will have to provide you when they do that?
So the key thing is, and there'll be further announcements around this next week, when people leave, they will fill out the form to actually get the exemption number to be able to come back. So they will have to lay out where they're planning on going, when they're planning on coming back, in order to generate the certificate to return. For those that have already left the island prior to the changes coming in, they will be able to fill that in for return after the 20th.
Thank you very much. My second question regarding, obviously, the mandatory 2-week quarantine once people do come back. I just wonder, will there be any testing when they immediately come back, or will there be a test possibly for them at the end of their 2-week quarantine? I know you've said during that time it will be monitored, but will there be any form of testing either side of that 2-week period?
No, there won't, Rob, because, again, they've got to quarantine for the 14 days, as we've discussed several times at the press conference. If we're doing the 14-day quarantine, which is the maximum incubation period for the virus, then there is no requirement for testing, because those that are in the early stages of being asymptomatic, won't necessarily show up on a test anyway, so it doesn't add any value. And the crucial thing, as the Chief Minister has said, is we are keeping in place that 14-day home quarantine for people.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks very much, Rob. We now move on to Chris Kay from Energy FM. Good afternoon, Chris. First of May.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. This new level, level 4, allows residents to go off island as long as they self-isolate for 2 weeks upon their return. Will there be financial support available if those people miss 2 weeks of work, or is it a case that the onus is firmly on the individual choosing to travel to take this into account?
Firmly on the individual wanting to travel. There'll be no support from government for people who want to go away and have to self-isolate when they come home. We couldn't afford it. It's the individual's choice if they want to leave the island to see family, but they must quarantine when they come back. That's it. It's their choice. And your second question, Chris?
Air bridges are being opened up around the world, despite cases continuing to be reported. This announcement today will obviously spark fears of a second wave here in the Isle of Man. But what's your response to the suggestion that our focus here in the Isle of Man should shift from protecting ourselves from any cases whatsoever to a focus on trying to live with the virus?
Well, I've always said we can't be like Brigadoon, where we just isolate ourselves forever. Chris, we've got to accept that life has to move on, and that we have to allow residents to go away to see loved ones, as an example. So I've always said that there is a chance of the someone coming back with COVID-19. However, the 14-day quarantine and people complying with those rules and regulations will give us the protection from a second wave. With people having to quarantine at home, that will give the protection to avoid that. We can't stay closed forever. But instead of opening the border in one big move, we came up with a staged plan on what would happen. And this is now our first move on that plan. But the 14 days gives the island the protection. And obviously we are bringing in measures to ensure that it is enforced. I'm sure the vast majority of the people of the Isle of Man already respect the rules and regulations. Sadly, there's always a very small number that let us down. But there are measures that are put in place where we will prosecute. There will be potential of going to prison or a considerable fine if you break this rule.
And finally, just another very quick question, if I may. How does this announcement today affect Manx citizens who may have moved away and now live in the UK? Are they still not allowed to come here?
No, if you're not a resident of the Isle of Man, if you're Manx but you've left to live elsewhere, then you don't have the right to come home. And unless if you buy a home on the Isle of Man to relocate here, then yes, you can apply for the right to come back through the Chief Secretary, through the exemptions from the Isle of Man. But having the fantastic privilege of being born on the Isle of Man but living elsewhere permanently doesn't give you the right to come back under these conditions.
It would be a very expensive trip, but thank you very much for clearing that up.
Thank you very much, Chris. We now move on to Paul Moulton from MTTV. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Chief. I'm sorry, we for people watching this and listening to this, we join you by a Zoom link, which has been really very bad for audio. So we may all be asking things you've already said to us, but we couldn't hear everything. And I apologise for that. And maybe we can all be in the same room sometime soon, please. Anyway, to the question. When people come back, for instance, for a funeral, can you explain that one? I know you did it in the past say that, and I may appreciate you've already updated this, but we couldn't hear you. So if you come in, how do you got to come for 2 weeks to actually self-isolate, to go to a funeral and then leave again, or some of the family matter? Can you just enlighten me, please?
Well, there's various scenarios there, Paul. If you're from the Isle of Man and you've gone away to the UK, you go to the funeral, then you come back to the Isle of Man and you quarantine for 14 days. If it's the other way around, you can come to the Isle of Man as long as you've got the exemption, because you still have to get the exemption. So let's be clear, this stage 4 is only for Isle of Man residents. It's not for UK residents to come in they are not allowed to come in unless they apply for the exemption to come to a loved one's funeral or a terminally ill family member. And I know, David, if you want to give a little bit more information on those rules.
Yeah, so the pathway stays the same, basically, Paul, that's already in place. Some people, if they know they've got an ill relative that is about to die, have come over and done the self-isolation for 14 days because they've got the time period to do it. For those who don't have that time period because a relative has died suddenly, they can apply for an exemption that allows them into the island. They, a bit like a key worker exemption in many ways, they can attend the funeral, but they've got to social distance. They can't go to the wake or anything afterwards. And then they basically self-isolate outside of attending the funeral. That pathway has been in place for some time now, and that will be the continuing pathway going forward.
Does that extend to weddings and things like that?
No, at the moment it's a compassionate exemption, so it's funerals.
Right. My second question, you picked the 20th, which is somewhere away. Why so long to make these changes? I see that EasyJet, I've just been on their website, you can get on flights now. They're showing bookings for the day after you open. Is this part of the plan? Was it you had to negotiate with the airlines and other people to make these changes? Or will you be very cautious to leave it that whole week or to get things in place to deal with it?
Well, I think, first and foremost, it had nothing to do, the date of the 20th of July had nothing to do with what an individual airline company is carrying out, whether they're carrying out flights to the Isle of Man or not. It was purely, this gives 11 days for the Manx public to plan, prepare, for us to get our messaging. Next week we will be doing a video conference where those running the scheme on getting on and off the island will be answering questions. It's something we've done with James Davis on a Wednesday in the past, and it's something we'll do next week too. People will be able to download that to see for themselves the system, get used to how it works, make sure they're comfortable with it so that when we hit a week on Monday, everyone is as comfortable as possible and we can make this as smooth as possible for everyone. So it's just to give chance to get the system set up, really. If we'd just announced it for next Monday, that would have only given a couple of days, and that clearly would have been too short a period. So it's just trying to be sensible, giving the Great Manx people as much time as possible to plan for this. Right, next we have Josh Stokes from ITV. Good afternoon, Josh. Faster Mai.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. Both my questions to the Health and Social Care Minister, please. Health Minister, the infection rate is coming down in the UK, but there are now areas of the UK that are being locked down for having different infection rates. We've seen what's happened in Leicester, for example. Does it now become more problematic that those areas are starting to be locked down and infection rates are varying, especially given our nearest neighbours in the northwest have been one of those places where the infection rate has varied?
It has, and that has factored into our thinking around the borders. So we have been looking at what's happening in our near neighbour, the northwest, not just the picture in England, as the Chief Minister's described previously. So that has been factored into our thinking. In terms of localised lockdowns, for a jurisdiction the size of the UK, they are still few and far between. In terms of Leicester, certainly from the figures I saw yesterday, it appears to be actually working, the localised lockdowns, in the way they were expected to do. But when you've got a jurisdiction the size of the UK, you will from time to time, while this pans out, be seeing localised lockdowns, because that is exactly why they were designed into their planning system, to catch outbreaks early and to shut them down before they spread any wider.
Okay, thank you. And my second question, the World Health Organization has said that there is emerging evidence that coronavirus could in fact be airborne and particles could be spread in the air. Now, I would imagine this may become problematic when travelling on planes and ferries. And if this does turn out to be reliable evidence, does it change the outlook at all for the Isle of Man? Or may it delay the easing of borders further?
But the first thing to actually focus on here is that the World Health Organization is re-looking at it, is the exact phrase that they used, after they've had appeals from 239 scientists who asked them to re-examine the evidence. The World Health Organization so far has said that airborne transmission can't be ruled out in crowded, closed or poorly ventilated settings. Well, actually, we've been saying that here in the Isle of Man for some substantial time, Josh, because we changed our mask advice, if you remember, around people thinking about wearing them in those sort of settings. It's also the reason why we shut down things like dentistry, which does aerosol-generating procedures. So in terms of what we've been doing here in the Isle of Man, it wouldn't change much. But one of the first things is that the World Health, that we've got to emphasise, is the World Health Organization officials have cautioned that the evidence at the moment is preliminary and it requires quite a lot of further assessment. So the World Health Organization at the moment is looking at it, but they've come to no firm conclusions.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Josh. Now we move on to Amanda Cashmore from Jeff the Mongoose. Good afternoon, Amanda. Pastor Mai.
Good afternoon, Pastor Mai, Minister. Just for a bit of clarity on the new guidance, apologies if I didn't quite hear it, we had a bad connection, but for returning residents, I believe you mentioned that only the traveller would need to isolate. Do they need to distance from other household members who didn't go on that trip?
Yes, they will need to follow the rules where they can isolate where possible in their house with other members of the family. Now, if they show signs of having COVID-19, then the whole family will then have to isolate. But we expect, as people have done before, to, if they can, self-quarantine at home away from the rest of the family member. And I don't know, David, if you want to add to that.
Yes, so this goes back to the guidance that was in place, if you remember, all the way back, Amanda, it seems like a lifetime ago now, at the very start of the outbreak, where there was guidance from public health about people quarantining at home, where they should use a separate bathroom if one is available from the rest of the household. They should limit any interactions with other members of the household. And basically, if there isn't another bathroom available, there should be cleaning regimes, etc., in place around the house to separate themselves off. So it's bringing back that guidance that was there at the very start of the pandemic. And we will be publishing it again in the next week.
Yeah, it does work, Amanda, because I had obviously COVID-19. I didn't want to pass it on to the rest of my family. So I isolated in a separate room. All my food and drinks were brought in with family members wearing gloves and masks. And I didn't, thank goodness, I didn't pass it on to anyone else in the family. So if we follow the rules, it does work. And your next question, Amanda.
Sorry, just to build on that a little bit further, just to be clear on that, the other members of the family can go out and about and don't have to distance from anyone else.
That's correct. But we urge them to follow the rules at home and self-isolate as to the very best of their ability.
All right, thank you. And secondly, I know you said previously that adopting a 7-day quarantine with testing for those coming onto the island, and you said that it wasn't safe and robust enough for us. But in Guernsey, with whom we're forming an air bridge, they're currently trialling this. Is it not considered a risk anymore for the island? And if so, will we be seeing that change coming in soon?
Well, you've just said they're trialling it, Amanda. I was speaking to my good friend Gavin, the Chief Minister of Guernsey, just yesterday about this. And yes, they are trialling this for a week. If it works, if the data backs up the evidence that there's no outbreaks, they reckon that it catches 80-81% of all cases of COVID-19, then this is something we may look at. It would take our health experts to have negotiations with the Guernsey health experts. And if it's a success, then it may be something that we are prepared to try going forward.
But of course, their trial affects us because people from Guernsey will be coming to the Isle of Man not having to isolate.
That's right. However, it's a case that people on this trial will not be allowed to go into restaurants, to cinemas, to theatres, anywhere where there's a build-up of people. So it doesn't give them the right to wander around everywhere meeting anyone. It just means after the eighth day, they can get out and about, but they have to respect the fact that they cannot go to mass gatherings. So that does give protection to the vast majority of the residents of Guernsey. So as they're trialling this week, if it's a success, they may well keep it. And I'm having now weekly updates and conversations with Gavin St-Pierre to monitor this situation, as indeed are our public health officials.
Thank you very much,
Amanda. We now move on to Simon Richardson from Business 365. Good afternoon, Simon. Pastor Mai.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Firstly, just to be absolutely crystal clear on this, the process for travelling off island, do people book passage in the normal way and then inform government, or do they have to register with government before they book the ferry or plane tickets? And if so, which departments? And can they now go ahead and just book tickets post July 20th?
Right, well, the simple plan is they can book the travel themselves. We're not going to be a travel agent for people, so they go and do everything themselves. They can do it now if they want, but they can leave the island technically from now, but they will not be able to come back until they have the paperwork with their number that will be given to them, their identification, and from the 20th going forward. I don't know, David, if you want to expand on that.
Yeah, we'll be using the online services platform, Simon. So people will be able to log on to the government's online services platform, and from there they will put in their details. They will be able to generate all the certificates and paperwork they require, and they will get a unique number that gives them the travel exemption to travel as a Manx resident. That will be a unique number for them that they will keep and use each time that they travel if they do multiple forms of travel. But each time they go to come back to the island, preferably 48 hours before they travel, they will need to go back online and complete the landing card, which will require them to put that unique number in, which will then generate the paperwork to allow them to get back into the island.
We will, of course, Simon, be updating our website for people to get as much information as possible. We'll be giving a video presentation next week with the team that will be working in this area, and for those people who do not have online facilities, we will be providing a telephone number for them to ring up to get advice on how they can travel if they don't have access to online facilities. Okay,
that clears that up nicely. The second question you'll be delighted to hear is on a completely different subject, and most people will have seen some of the very positive coverage the island has received in the UK national media for its handling of the coronavirus crisis. Now, it struck me that this would be the right time to follow up with a powerful new marketing campaign to extol the virtues of the island to new business, investors, wealthy individuals and the like. Is this something that's actually under consideration?
It's not under consideration. It's already being activated, Simon. The Department for Enterprise are working on this, on relocation to the Isle of Man. They're working with Treasury to get the funding. Obviously, we had already started to work on this before the COVID-19 situation came upon the island, but it is part of our strategy going forward, and the safety of the Isle of Man, whether it be a health or crime. We often forget, we take for granted living on our fantastic Isle of Man, that we have the lowest crime rate with the highest detection rate in the United Kingdom, if not Europe. And that's another fantastic reason to live on the Isle of Man, along with a stunning, beautiful countryside and the only entire UNESCO biosphere region in the world. So thank you very much for that, Simon. And with that, that brings us
thank you very much.
I think that's our last set of questions. So thank you for the questions today. Now, I imagine there will be a range of reactions to today's news on borders. It won't suit everyone. On a short walk from government offices the other day, I was met with opposing views from two members of the public in a very short period of time. A lady urged me to keep the borders firmly closed. A few steps on, a gentleman expressed fears for the survival of local businesses if they did not open. Such is politics. Together we have done a terrific job in responding to the pandemic. That has been said many, many times. But it is not a job done. Just as attitudes to risk vary widely, the steps we have taken towards the new normal seem scary to some, but are welcomed by others. I hope people accept, though, that we cannot stay isolated forever. But today we have taken another careful step towards normality. Now, this is an unfolding story, and we will deal with each new challenge as it arises. I know that the Manx people love a good challenge. Thank you all very much.